First of all, I would like to thank my wife. Kita akan mulaikan satu sermon series, tapi saya ingin berterima kasih kepada Ibu Pendeta ya. Thank my wife because she said, you have been teaching, you have been bringing Bible study night after night. Ya, saya sudah selalu membawakan pelajaran Alkitab dari malam ke malam, and for my past sermon series, it's all about theology from Bible, you know. So maybe you need to tell a story now. Dikatakan mungkin kita akan mendengarkan saat ini satu apa? Satu cerita. And I say, oh, maybe that's a good idea. Let me tell a story. Let me tell a story instead of text after text, Bible after Bible, but we will listen to a story. Kita akan mendengarkan satu apa? Cerita daripada ayat demi ayat yang banyak begitu ya. Kita akan mendengarkan cerita. But before that, let us bow our head for prayer. Father God in heaven, as we come to you, as we listen to you, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will be poured to each one of us, especially to me as I deliver your message, and may every single word that may come out from my mouth, that you have blessed them, and that can be a blessing to each one of us. This is the prayer that I bring in the name of Jesus. Like a good old story. What is the word in any fairy tale story that normally we used to hear? Me? Once upon a time. Once upon a time. This is the what? Pada suatu ketika. Ada pada setiap kali kita mendengarkan cerita, mulaikan dengan kata apa? Pada suatu ketika. The beginning of a great story will begin with the word or words once upon a time. Because when we say this word, the people who listen, who would like to listen, would stop. People would stop. And they would stop from the distraction. Mereka akan berhenti daripada gangguan-gangguan segala sesuatu yang ada. And they start to what? Yeah? They would start to listen. Yeah. Mulai mereka apa ya? Mendengar pada suatu ketika. Yeah? No distraction. I don't know whether this is still a custom that we used to do now. Apakah ini satu kebiasaan yang masih kita sering buat saat ini? Once upon a time, we can still tell stories to our children. Maybe we give them iPad or iPhone, yeah. But there was a time when ever parents would say once upon a time, the children would stop. Maka anak akan apa ya? Seorang anak akan berhenti dan mulai apa? Mulai mendengar, mulai mendengar, okay? Once upon the time. And where in the Bible that we have a story that start also with the word once upon a time? Any guess? The word that Bible book, the beginning of the verse start with once upon a time. Ada? Anybody knows yang dimulaikan pada satu saat? Ada kira-kira? Ya, kalau kita membaca in the Bible, in the Message version, ya, Ruth chapter 1 verse 1 start with once upon a time, according to Message Bible, not in the New King James version, not in New International version, but in Message Bible it says that once upon a time, pada zaman. Ya, pada suatu saat. It was back in the days when judges led Israel. Pada saat para hakim memerintah. So, a story will always start with a setting. Satu kisah itu akan dimulaikan dengan satu apa ya? Satu setting, satu konteks daripada kisah tersebut. And what is the setting of this story? In the time of what? Judges. What is the time of judges? Apa itu waktu para hakim? Itu sebelum apa ya? Sebelum raja, ya, oke? Okay? Sebelum raja-raja. Loh, kalau kita lihat, if we look at the book of Ruth, what comes before the book of Ruth? Apa yang terdapat sebelum kitab Ruth? The book of what? The book of Judges. The book of Judges. Buku apa ya? Hakim-hakim. And what happened when the book of Ruth started that? It was in the days when judges led Israel, there was a blessing upon the land. Was it? No. There was a famine in the land. Why? Why there was a famine? In Bible times, if we talk about the blessings of God will come through what? blessing of God through what good crops, lot of food, berkat-berkat itu datang kalau banyak apa ya? Makanan, ya. So what wrong? What was wrong in the time of Judges? That there was famine in the land. What was wrong? Well, if you want to see the context, we read the previous verse. Kita akan membaca untuk melihat konteksnya, setting ya. Kita akan membaca satu ayat sebelum Ruth 1 verse 1. One verse before Ruth 1 verse 1. And that is the book of what? Judges. And what is the last verse in the book of Judges? Apa ayat terakhir di kitab Hakim-Hakim? The last words in the book of Judges is that Judges 21:25, in those days there was no king in Israel. And what happened? Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Setiap orang berbuat apa yang benar menurut Tuhan. They do what is right in God's eye, in the sight of God. Is that what they do? Is that what they did at that time? No. Everyone did what was right in his or her own eye. And what happened? What happened when everyone did what was right in his or her own eyes? What happened if in the family, everybody do, the children don't care about what the parents say, the wife, husband, what happened? Chaos, yeah? People get hurt. If everyone do what is right, not in God's eyes, but in their own eyes, people get hurt. For Putin, or Vladimir Putin, he was doing what is right in his eyes now. And what happened to Ukraine? Okay? What happened to Ukraine? And another thing, the blessing of God, spiritually and physically, may also disappear when God withdrew his protection, when people do what is right in their own eyes. Berkat-berkat Tuhan akan dilepas, tertahan, ya. Tidak diberikan pada saat orang berbuat menurut pandangannya sendiri. So there was a famine in the land. There was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, and he and his wife and his two sons. Once upon a time, there was a family. Pada satu saat, ada satu keluarga. Ada terjadi kelaparan di tanah Israel, lalu pergilah seorang dari Bethlehem, Yehuda, berserta istrinya dan kedua anaknya laki-laki ke daerah Moab untuk menetap di sana sebagai orang asing. And we have studied before. I have been preaching about this book. I preached once. Waktu ada acara di rumah Tante Feli juga, I preached this about this story. This is a story that so short, but so huge, so big. What's so big? Why is it that the Bible has to mention about Bethlehem? What is the meaning of Bethlehem? Remember? We have Israelis among us. What is the meaning of bait, rumah, lehem, roti, bread, the house of bread, this the basket of bread. In other words, the ini adalah rumah roti Israel. If other places can experience famine, never in Bethlehem. Because this is the bread basket. Itulah tempat penuh dengan apa? Roti. Yeah? And they have to run away from that place. Mereka harus pergi dari tempat itu. Dan mereka pergi kemana? Moab. Wow. What is this Moab? What is the meaning of Moab? Yeah? Of father. Dari kata Moab. Of father. Jadi ini dari arti kata Moab artinya dari ayah. Oke. Okay. You can guess. Ayah itu bangsa ini dari ayah daripada yang mengandung anak tersebut. Siapa itu? Who is the okay, Lot. Yeah. So Moab refers to a family that comes from Lot. What happened to Lot? Ya, yeah. Dia dapat anak dari apa? Anaknya sendiri. So the son of Lot is as well his grandson, ya. Yeah. Moab. So they had to go to Moab. And interestingly, in the book of Psalm, in Psalm 108 verse 9, it was stated that Moab is my wash basin. Tempat cuci apa? Tempat cuci kaki. It's for dirty water. Yeah.
What is for dirty water? Tempat-tempat apa? Cuci kaki. Dari tempat roti, from the house of bread, it became tempat cuci apa? It became a wash basin for dirty water. You know, what a reversal, yeah? What a reversal that happened in this family. And there was family. And what's the name of the father? The name of the father is Eli Melech. Okay, Eli, my God, yeah. My God, Melech, mean king. My God is king. Yeah? My God is king, but somehow the God is not the king that direct their life. Arti daripada Eli Melech, Allahku adalah apa? Rajaku. Tetapi Allah itu tidak menjadi raja. And what about Naomi? Naomi means pleasant. Yeah? Naomi means pleasant. Arti daripada Naomi apa? Pleasant, nyaman, orang yang wanita yang nyaman, itulah Naomi, ya, sweet one, ya, enak, nyaman atau enak. And went with her husband, and two sons were with them, Mahlon and Kilion. What is the name of Mahlon and Kilion means? What is? Well, Mahlon means sickly. Mahlon means sickly, penyakitan. And Kilion means pining, or wasting away, merana atau apa? Rosot. Why would a father and mother name a child sickly? My, hi sickly, eh, penyakitan, penyakitan. Wasting away, merana, anak yang merana. Why would a parent name like that? Well, it happened that in the Bible times, the naming of a child not only related to the character that was intended, the character that was intended for the child, but also related to the situation during the child birth. Ya. Pada saat apa? Orang tua melahirkan, peristiwa melahirkan itulah yang menjadikan nama itu apa? Diberikan. Like Jacob. Why is it Jacob's name was given? Because he was what? Grabbing the heel of Esau. And why would Moses names is Moses? Because of the Hebrew word Masha means what? Ya? Drawing out. Apa sebabnya? Musa namanya Musa karena itu dia akan diambil apa? Dikeluarkan dari dalam apa? Dari dalam air. Masha. So the same thing, you know, just to remind the family that, well, yeah, Mahlon is sickly. Yeah, but that's the real thing that has happened. Itu like peristiwa yang terjadi pada saat dia mau lahir. And the same thing with Kilion. Oh, so they were Ephraimite from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there twice, Moab repeated twice, to give emphasis. Remember, in the Bible, if the emphasis is twice, it's not a good thing, ya? Yeah? Martha, Martha, there is a warning in it. Kalau disebutkan dua kali, ya, kalau tiga kali, it's good. Holy, 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 okay, that's good, ya. Yeah? But if it is twice, Moab, yeah, it's not good. And this thing is not good indeed. Dan itu betul-betul tidak apa, ya? Tidak baik. Kenapa? What happened next? Oh, we all know the story, right? What happened next? Yeah. What happened? Ethan? What happened to the family? They died. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left with her two sons. Well, as long as, okay, maybe the husband died. But the two sons are, okay, still with her, yeah? The husband died. Now, the two sons, they took wife of the woman of Moab, and the name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. The plan was just, well, during a famine, maybe one or two harvest cycle, failure crops. Kalau cuman, kalau kegagal-gagal panen, ya mungkin 1-2 tahun. Ya, 1 or 2 years perhaps. This is until what? 10 years. The plan was a short term, but somehow they had to stay longer. In the land, they did not worship Yahweh. They worshiped perhaps like Chemosh and other pagan god. But they stayed there 10 years. And what happened with them? Okay, Chica, what happened with Mahlon and Kilion? Died too. Okay? So both Mahlon and Kilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. What happened with the grandchildren? Do they have grandchildren? No. Why? Problem with the Orpah or with Ruth, we know that Ruth able to give birth, but problem maybe with the Mahlon and Kilion, yeah, not only during the childbearing, but ya ada kelemahan mereka, ya, sampai tidak punya apa, jadi menyatakan, ya. But now Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. Yeah. We just enter 5 verses. Kita masuk 5 ayat pertama. The first 5 verses of the book of Ruth talks about utter tragedy, utter devastation, utter emptiness for Naomi. Hebat sekali penderitaannya, ya. First, of course, there was not enough food to eat in the house of bread. Tidak ada makanan di Bethlehem, di rumah roti, ya. If then that is not only the problem, but when they were up, when they were in Moab, the husband died, then her son, one by one. Matilah suami, matilah anak pertama, matilah anak kedua. Naomi went to Moab to get something. Naomi pergi ke Moab untuk mendapatkan sesuatu. But did he get what he want? What she wanted? Apa dia dapat? Apa yang dia inginkan? Okay, mungkin bread. But what about the loss? Apa yang kehilangan? Wow, tremendous loss. Yeah. She got nothing. She lost it all. Hilang semuanya. Of course, she still had two daughters-in-law, but they are foreigner. Oh, ada dua dia punya apa? Ada dua dia punya mantu, tapi semua itu orang asing. They are Moabite, orang-orang Moab. Yeah. And to think of it, the relationship between Israelites and the Moabites, not good, ya. Yeah. Tidak bagus hubungan antara orang Israel dan orang Moab. And so Naomi left with utter grief. Berduka. Siapa di antara kita yang pernah berduka? How many of us have been in utter grief like Naomi? Ada kira-kira di antara kita kehilangan suami, kehilangan dua anak? Ada? Saya tidak tahu kalau ada. Lost husband and two sons. Yeah. How do you feel? What does grieving look like to someone like Naomi? Duka yang bagaimana yang akan dirasakan oleh seorang ibu seperti Naomi? There is a statement. There is a statement by Zelda Popkin. He said that grief is illness. Bahwa kesedihan adalah bagaikan penyakit. Anda tidak dapat bernapas. You cannot breathe. You cannot breathe. You cannot walk or eat. Tidak dapat jalan atau makan. The sickness is entire. Pada saat Anda berduka itu secara penuh. The body secara tubuh dan juga apa? Secara jiwa. I cannot imagine. I cannot really imagine. Really, I cannot imagine. Losing our spouse, your old children, Pak Herold, Bu Ani, bisa bayangkan? Saya tidak bisa bayangkan. Wow, I cannot imagine that. So, she lost everything, and she felt like the oxygen was sucked out. Dia merasa sepertinya udara itu hilang dari bapak. Makanya orang pada saat banyak orang berduka, when people were so much in grief, what happened to them? Kita sering lihat di pekuburan, when in funeral service, what happened to the grieving person? Called fainted. Yeah. Pingsan-pingsan mereka. No end to grief. And that was the feeling of Naomi. That was the feeling of Naomi. But he had to act. She had to act. Dia harus bertindak. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughter-in-law prepare to return home from there. At the time when the oxygen was sucked out of her, pada saat udara atau nafas itu seakan-akan sudah mau ditarik daripadanya, there was a slight, small good news. People came, maybe, oh you know me. Your name is like Jew. It's Lalai. You are Lalai? Oh yeah, yeah, it's Lalai. Oh, you know, it's okay now in Israel? Is this good now? Oh, really? Yeah, food there. Okay. And Naomi kata, dengar apa? Dia dengar orang bilang, sudah bagus di tempat mereka, ya. Pulanglah dia. Because the Lord had come to aid of his people. Tuhan telah datang untuk apa? Memperhatikan umatnya. The question, will God aid Naomi? Will Naomi realize that God is aiding her? Apakah dia dapat merasakan penyertaan Tuhan yang memperhatikan dia? Okay. Yeah. Verse 7. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living. Maka berangkatlah ia dari tempat tinggalnya itu. Live for 10 years. Yeah. Live for 10 years in that place. And move. Yeah. Bersama-sama dengan kedua menantunya. She left the place. What does that mean? Dia tinggalkan tempatnya itu. What does that mean? Apa yang dia tinggalkan? Dia sudah punya rumah. Okay, he has a house. She has a house. Dia sudah punya rumah. Apalagi yang dia akan tinggalkan? What else will she left behind? Relative? Does he have a relative? No. The Moabite, the in-laws, yeah. But what is the greatest thing that she had to leave in Moab? Apa yang akan dia tinggalkan di Moab? Tiga kuburan. Three graves. The grave of her husband and what?
And two sons.
Yeah?
And two sons.
You know what? You know what? That one thing that I like to do in my life, yeah? Strange, yeah? I like to go to cemetery, really, honestly. Not during the night, no. Not malam-malam. No. But I like to go during the day. Do you know why I like to go to cemetery? To read what people write on the tombstone. Untuk membaca apa yang orang tulis di tombstone. Somehow I like it. I like how people try to remember. Saya suka untuk melihat kuburan itu di batu-batu nisan, apa yang orang tulis, what people wrote about their loved one. Yeah. What people wrote about their loved one, that the loved ones will not be forgotten. Will not be forgotten. Can you imagine Naomi, before he left for Judah, perhaps every day, she would come to see the grave of her husband and to what? And to Sarah. Can you imagine? She had to leave this all behind. Yeah? Can you imagine the memory that was there on the tombstone? Yeah? Son, kind-hearted, most caring, yeah? Selfless human being that you have to leave behind. Can you imagine that? For some of us, maybe only one grave that we have to left behind. But for Naomi, three graves. Tiga kuburan. Three graves to leave behind. Anyway, she left the place. Ruth 1 verse 7 say, with her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living, and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Set out on the road. I did not put the emphasis here. Di apa? Ketika mereka sedang jalan, ya. Mereka sedang berada dalam perjalanan. What do normally people do when they go to one place, another place in the time of Bible? Apa yang orang lakukan pada saat mereka berjalan? It's not like us. We just drive in our own car and then we drive from here to wherever we want to go. But in Bible times, when people travel, they travel in caravan. Mereka selalu berjalan apa? Di group, dengan group. They travel in caravan and they used to talk, they used to tell stories and so on. I was wondering what kind of story would Naomi told his travel companion. Oh, I came to Moab. Oh yeah, I came to Moab. I came from Bethlehem and then I went to Moab because of this and that. Yeah. Well, and maybe people ask, and why did you go home now? What would Naomi say? What would she say when people might ask her? Well, we don't know. Yeah. But for sure, what I know is It was so difficult, sukar sekali. So, but and so humiliating to travel back to the place where you came from with nothing. Sukar mau pulang ke rumah tanpa apa-apa. Ya, tanpa apa-apa. Nothing. Nothing in Judah. She doesn't even have her own field anymore. Yeah. She just, I don't know whether she still retained her house and so on. She was poor and alone. And she got nothing. Well, some of us, we are here in the U.S., we may live in an apartment, but I know many of you, in Indonesia, in here, you live in an apartment or perhaps in share a room, but in Indonesia, you have a million-dollar mansion. I know that. Yeah. I know. And Hattie knows. Yeah. Some people just live in a simple place in New Jersey. But in Indonesia, it's 2, 3, 4 hours. Yeah. Ada yang tinggal di apartemen, di sini, di New Jersey, tapi di Unclub, waduh, kos-kosannya itu 3 tingkat, saudara. So, they have everything, but Ruth got, not Ruth, Naomi got nothing. And so, once they reach home, this is what Naomi said to the people. Yeah, this is what Naomi, what happened? What happened when they reach home? Yeah, they reach their hometown. Yeah, in verse 19, we jump to verse 19. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was filled because of them. Some people look Naomi and the other one. Oh, well, Naomi came. Oh, really? I did not see her. Yeah, Naomi was there. I just Naomi was there too. Tak lagi orang lihat. But can this be Naomi? Apakah ini Naomi kah itu? Why would they ask such a question? Why would they question whether this is Naomi or not? Why? Because Naomi has changed. Kenapa mereka bertanya-tanya Naomi kah itu? Naomi sudah berubah. Yeah. Naomi sudah berubah. Sudah jadi lebih tua. Mungkin sudah buku karena menderita terus. Ya. He was stooping, maybe something like that. People do not recognize her anymore. Normally, if she was okay, people would say, "Wow!" They also surprised. Wow! You're surprised. Why are you surprised? Because you haven't changed a bit. Karena kamu tidak berubah. Ya, yeah. Kalau misalnya Tante Feli pulang ke Indonesia, orang kenal orang semua. Kamu apa ini Feli? Kamu segar malahan, ya. Tante Feli, kalau di Indonesia. But not Naomi. She changed a lot. She has changed a lot. Naomi kah itu? People almost could not recognize her. People could not recognize her. People started to talk. Orang mulai bicara. And then Naomi finally heard about what people talking about her. And then she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Do not call me pleasant. Do not call me sweet one. Dan jangan lagi panggil aku apa? Seseorang yang menyenangkan, orang yang enak. I'm not menyenangkan. I'm not enak. Why? Call me Mara. Have this name ring a bell, Mara? Where is in the Bible story about Mara and Meriba? Mara itu bukan marah-marah, bukan untuk karena angry ya. Yeah. It's not about anger in Indonesia. Mara is anger. But in the Bible, Mara means what? It's this place where Moses brought Israelites out of Egypt and they arrive in the place and they drink and the water was bitter. Why? Because the meaning of Mara is bitter. So that's why Naomi said, "Janganlah sebutkan aku Naomi, sebutkanlah aku Mara." Bukan karena aku marah-marah, tapi karena apa? Sebab Yang Maha Kuasa telah melakukan banyak yang pahit kepadaku. I'm not a pleasant one. I'm the bitter one. Why would he say bitter? Why not say, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me sad. Call me a poor person. Call me grief. Why bitter? Because that was coming something from her heart, her soul. She was bitter. Bitter to who? Bitter to her circumstances? Ya. Pahit kepada siapa dia? Pahit kepada siapa? Dan kenapa dia merasa pahit? And why would he feel bitter? Kenapa? Mari kita baca selanjutnya. Let's continue read in verse 31. And then, yeah. I went out full. I have everything. Saya dengan tangan yang penuh aku pergi. Please read in English. Dengan tangan yang penuh aku pergi, tetapi dengan tangan yang kosong. But the Lord has brought me home again empty. So, did she blame her husband or her two sons because they died sooner than her? She blamed God, yeah? The Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since, again, she said what? The Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me. Tuhan yang telah naik saksi menentang aku dan yang Maha Kuasa telah mendatangkan malapetaka kepadaku. What did he say? What did she say about her feeling at that time? From full, she said, now what? Apa yang dikatakan? Dari penuh sekarang dikatakan perasaannya apa? Kosong, empty. Feeling that her life ended, perasaan bahwa kehidupannya itu sudah berakhir, that her hope for the future is gone, pengharapan masa depannya telah berlalu, and her way to provide a life for herself is no longer there. Tidak ada lagi kesempatan untuk membuat sesuatu bagi kehidupannya. Empty. Empty. What does empty feel like? Ada yang pernah merasa kekosongan dalam kehidupan kita? Hah? There is a irony. There is a paradox. Ada statement. Paradox statement. Ya. Paradox statement by James de la Vega. James de la Vega says that, why does the feeling of emptiness, the feeling of nothing, occupy so much space? Kenapa yang banyak perasaan kosong, penuh sekali? Kosong itu maksudnya kosong. Tapi kenapa perasaan kosong itu apa? Memenuhi kehidupan dari setiap aspek kehidupan kita. Mengapa perasaan kosong, perasaan hampa, menempati begitu banyak ruang? Itu banyak ruang. Irony, ya. This ironic. A sense of nothingness, kekosongan that can easily overwhelm, fill out, and take control of our life. Perasaan kosong yang memenuhi kehidupan kita. Perasaan kosong. And this feeling of emptiness can be dangerous. Yeah? Feeling perasaan bahwa kita itu kosong, that can be dangerous. I've shown this one time, and this is so sad. This is so sad. A quotation that is so sad by a person that we may have known, Robin Williams. Who was he? Actor. Yeah. What kind of film that he used to make? Comedy. He could make people laugh. He could make people happy. This is what he said about his life. I think dikatakan. Saya pikir. Orang yang paling sedih, the saddest people, orang yang paling sedih selalu berusaha sekuat tenaga untuk membuat orang bahagia, karena mereka tahu bagaimana rasanya benar-benar berharga, because they know what it feels like to feel absolutely worthless. Mereka tahu bagaimana tidak berasa tidak berharga, kekosongan, kekosongan. Dan mereka tidak ingin orang lain merasa seperti itu. He felt emptiness. And what is the end of his life? He died. So sad. So sad, yeah? His battle with emptiness took his life. And so, Naomi feel empty. I went out full. The Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has testified against me. And the Almighty has afflicted me. When we feel empty, yeah. When during grief. I feel sad, honestly, whenever I visited Charles and Yeli, saat saya kunjungi Charles dan Yeli, kamar daripada Timothy, the room of Timothy was still there. Yeah. The clothes of Timothy were still there. Yeah. But the room is now empty, the room that was occupied by Timothy. And perhaps this is not only when someone died, yeah. Pada saat orang meninggal. Maybe during divorce. During a divorce. Look at the chair. Look at the room where a partner was once there. Naomi understand, she too felt empty. Dia juga merasakan kekosongan tersebut. What would be another word for empty? Apa kira-kira nama lain daripada kekosongan ini? Empty. Nama lainnya apa? Alone. Yeah, alone. Sendirian. Loneliness. Dan kekosongan dan kesendirian, loneliness and emptiness, will lead to a profound grief. And what is grief? Well, a person by the name of Edgar N. Jackson, he wrote a book, The Many Faces of Grief, and he wrote that grief is a young widow trying to raise her 3 children alone. Duka adalah seorang janda muda yang berusaha membesarkan 3 anaknya sendirian. Grief, the man who filled with shock, uncertainty, and confusion that he strikes out at the nearest person. Duka adalah pria yang begitu dipenuhi dengan ketidakpastian dan kebingungan yang mengejutkan sehingga dia akan melukai orang yang lain yang dekat dengan dia. Grief is a mother walking daily. Duka adalah seorang ibu yang berjalan setiap hari ke kuburan terdekat untuk berdiri diam dan sendirian beberapa menit sebelum melakukan pekerjaannya hari itu. Ibu tersebut tahu bahwa sebagian dirinya ada di dalam kuburan. Sama seperti sebagian dirinya yang lain yang akan melakukan pekerjaannya sehari-hari. Grief is silent. Duka adalah seorang, apa, grief is grief is silent, yeah. Knife like terror and sadness that comes 100 times a day when you start to speak to someone who is no longer there. Kesedihan adalah keheningan, teror dan kesedihan seperti pisau yang datang 100 kali sehari ketika Anda mulai berbicara dengan seseorang yang sudah tidak ada lagi. Grief is emptiness that comes when you eat alone after eating with another for many years. Kesedihan adalah kehampaan yang muncul saat Anda sekarang makan sendirian, setelah Anda biasanya makan bersama seseorang lainnya selama bertahun-tahun. Grief is teaching yourself to go to bed without saying good night to the one who has died. Grief is the helpless wishing that things were different when you know they are not. They are not. Yeah, and will never be again. Duka adalah mengajari diri sendiri untuk pergi tidur tanpa mengucapkan selamat malam kepada orang yang telah meninggal. Duka adalah harapan yang tak berdaya, bahwa segala sesuatunya berbeda ketika Anda tahu bahwa itu tidak demikian dan tidak akan pernah ada lagi. Grief is a whole cluster of adjustments. Duka adalah sekumpulan penyesuaian, kekhawatiran dan ketidakpastian yang menyerang kehidupan untuk dapat maju ke depan dan membuat sulit untuk mengarahkan energi kehidupan. So when you are in grief, difficult to redirect the energies of life. You feel dead. You feel empty. You feel low. I went out full, Ruth said. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted. That was her feeling. Itulah perasaan dia. Tuhan yang telah membuat tangannya yang tadinya penuh sekarang menjadi kosong. Tuhan yang telah menentang dia. Tuhan yang telah mendatangkan malapetaka kepada aku. And that is mostly the question that people in grief would always say, why, Lord? Why me? Why do you do this to me? Kenapa Tuhan? Kenapa engkau melakukan ini kepadaku? Dan menyebabkan aku menderita. But the question is, was she really empty and alone? Apakah dia betul-betul sendirian? Apakah dia betul-betul kosong? Dia katakan, I'm empty. Was she really empty? Was she really empty? Arda? No? Why not? Huh? You answer that. Ada yang menyertai dia. Someone was with her. And what would God say when she accused God this way? Apa yang Allah akan katakan saat dia sepertinya menyerang Allah seperti ini? She had root. Of course, we know the story. Go back again. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that will take them back to Judah. Mereka sudah berjalan pulang. Kedua, Orpa and Ruth was with her. Orpa and Ruth was with her. But Naomi says, come back. Go back, each of you, to your mother's home, and may the Lord show you kindness. May the Lord give you hesed. Hesed, ya. Tuhan kiranya menunjukkan kasih-Nya kepadamu, seperti yang kamu tunjukkan pada orang-orang yang telah mati itu dan kepadaku. So she knew that God has shown hesed, kindness to her. She said that, but somehow she did not believe in that, perhaps, ya. Go back, go back. And may the Lord, she blessed her daughter-in-law. May the Lord, ya, kiranya ke atas kasih karunia Tuhan, kamu mendapat tempat perlindungan masing-masing di rumah suaminya. Lalu diciumlah mereka, lalu mereka menangis dengan suara keras dan berkata kepadanya, tidak. And both of them at first, they said, no, we will not return. We will go back with you to your people. But Naomi says, in verse 11, Naomi says, no, my daughters, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Pulanglah anak-anakku. Mengapakah kamu turut dengan aku? Bukankah aku tidak ada lagi anak laki-laki yang kulahirkan untuk dijadikan suamimu nanti? How will I sustain you? You need a man. Like in Bible times, ya. Yeah? If it is now, it's okay, ya. Yeah? You can just work. But now in Bible times, no. The inheritance and everything is related to the husband, related to the man. I cannot give you a man. I cannot give you a husband. So go back. And finally Orpah left. You know the story. Kita tahu kisahnya bagaimana Orpah pergi. But what happened with Ruth? But Ruth replied. Tapi Ruth berkata, janganlah desak aku. Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Allah mula. Alaku, jangan biarkan aku pergi. Kamu pergi kemana, aku akan di situ. Kamu bermalam di mana, aku akan bermalam di situ. Bangsamu lah bangsaku dan Allahmu lah Allahku. Di mana kamu akan mati, where you will die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, even that separates you and me. So she was not alone. Naomi was not alone because there was Ruth. Where was God? Di mana Tuhan? Where's the presence of God to Naomi? Where was God? Huh? The presence of God was with God was not anywhere else. God was with her through yeah, melalui God. Elie Wiesel, kita sudah pernah dengar ya. Elie Wiesel was one of the survivor of concentration camps
during a German Nazi, Elie Wiesel. Yeah, he's a Nobel Prize winner. And he talked once about the incident in the concentration camp. There were two men, Elie Wiesel yang keluar dari kamp konsentrasi di Nazi di Jerman, orang Yahudi, dia ditawan. And there was a time when the Nazi soldiers, you know, caught three people, menangkap tiga orang because of the violation that they have done, oleh sebab pelanggaran yang mereka lakukan. And these three people had to be hung, had to be hung. Dua orang dewasa, two adults, and one small child, teenager, almost teenager. So they were hung. I'm sorry to tell the story, but this is a real story, yeah? Told by Elie Wiesel. Elie Wiesel. And so when they were hung, the two adults died right away. But this child, because he was lighter, tapi anak-anak muda ini, karena dia masih kecil mungkin, jadi dia tidak langsung mati ya, mungkin karena berat badannya ya. Jadi dia masih sedikit menggeliat di atas tiang gantungan. And the people at the back of Elie Wiesel says, "Where is God? Where is God? Di mana Tuhan? Di mana Tuhan? Kenapa ini dilakukan? Kenapa ini diizinkan untuk terjadi? Where is God? Why would God allow this thing to happen? Why would God allow this thing to happen?" And they started to murmur. People murmur, "Where is God? Where is God? Where is God?" Elie Wiesel looked at the three bodies on the, you know, and then he whispered to the people at his back, "God is there, hung together with those three people." Allah ada, tergantung bersama-sama dengan siapa ya? Dengan ketiga orang yang apa? Yang sedang digantung. Yes, God can leave us out from our troubles. Tuhan dapat menjauhkan kita dari masalah kita. But there are times God had to enter the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God is there. Yeah. Tuhan ada. So Naomi was not alone. Naomi was not alone. God was there through Ruth. There are so many people surrounding us. Ada begitu banyak orang di sekitar kita. Alone, feel empty. Alone, feel empty. Yeah. In grief, grieving at this time. What can we do for them? Apa yang dapat kita lakukan bagi mereka? Be like Ruth. Be with them. Bersama-sama dengan mereka. Ya. Dengarkan keluhan mereka. Berdoa untuk mereka. Listen to them. Pray with them. Ya. Pray with them. So they know. Ya. So that eventually, like the story of Naomi, eventually, Naomi will know that she is not empty, that she is not alone, that God has always been with her. Tuhan akan selalu sama-sama dengan dia. Saya bawa ini loh nama Yesus.